Well, it's 2024, and as they say, new year, new you, I suppose. So what's a better way to start off the new year than going on a trip or planning a trip?
Yeah.
And what's the easiest way to take this trip that you just decided to take? You're welcome. Head over to our friends at Zip Travel Company, and they will help you plan this trip. So not only will they help you plan your trip, it's also no cost to you. They'll help you plan your itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
They'll also look for deals for you. So when you book, if there's discounts that happen later on or anything else that can save you money, they will actually help you do that. So you can save money, and they will look out for deals for you all the time.
Because let's face it, it can be confusing to book a trip to Orlando or anywhere else in the world. So these travel experts will help you plan your trip, guide you through the whole process, and it's completely free.
If you head on over to travelwithzip.com, there's a form there you can fill out. They will get in touch with you. Just let them know whatever plans you have, or if you're just looking for deals, they'll also let you know that as well. And on top of that, if you do book a trip through this link, travelwithzip.com, and because you're a listener of the show, we'll give you some goodies as well. So Zip will leave you a goodie bag at your hotel, which sometimes we even get those, which is always a great thing to have on your trip. But we'll also give you a free t-shirt, and you'll get $10 in shop credit that you can use for C-Team apparel or 1901 Candle Company products as well.
So go to travelwithzip.com to book your trip today. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. My name is Jamie Lee, and I am joined by my husband, Mr. Jared Lee. Hello, Jared.
Hello.
Well, I got a question. Here it is.
Okay.
All right. How much do you hate April Fool's Day?
I'm not the biggest on practical jokes. I mean, I don't know. I don't give a lot of energy toward not liking it. I just don't believe anything that I hear or anybody tells me on April, like on the first. So I typically like, there's obvious ones. Like, I don't know. Every year somebody is fooled by something. And I'm always like, why? How? Like,
yes.
You know, So I typically like, I've gotten to the point where most things I read now, especially on like social media, I immediately just lean toward, I don't know about that. So
I'm skeptical.
I think it kind of leans itself to like on days like this where I'm like, oh, that's probably clearly like not true. But I mean,
yeah.
Typically, yeah, I'm not a huge fan. But I mean, it can be fun. Like our daughter's friend today came over and she was asking if our daughter could play. And we're like, well, she's got to go to dance. And she's like, oh, but she's had like a Pringles like cup.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, you want me to get her? Because she said it happy April Fool's Day when she came to the door.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I was like, do you want to play a joke on her? And she's like, yeah. So she comes over and she goes, I got you some Pringles. And gave her Pringles. And clearly they just were already eaten and they were just empty. Stuff like that is funny, especially for like a 7-year-old. But yeah.
Like to give her empty can of
like
Pringles.
I never liked the show Punked.
Okay.
Like there were moments there. Like I remember with one of them with that. It's just, I was like, man, that's just. Some of those are over the top. I think the lighthearted ones. Okay, cool. Yeah.
I just knew I was going to see some pregnancy announcements today, but I didn't see any. So I was like, yay.
I saw a couple of like fake, I'm stepping down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw a few of those. Like I have, after deliberation, I'm no longer doing this. And there was inevitably some people in the thing were like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And we're like, oh, geez. Okay. What about you? Are you big on practical jokes?
I mean, not really. I guess it depends on how it's done. Like if it's like a lighthearted, like you said, and it doesn't take itself too seriously and it's obvious that it's a joke. Okay, fine. But if you're doing it to really fool somebody and like to make people feel like lied to or like, you know, gypped, I don't know about that.
Yeah. One of my friends one time went on this elaborate story about something that happened to him. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then he was like, oh, that actually happened. And he was like, oh, and he said something about like, I believed him. I was like, well, I just assume my friends won't lie to me. So I get so I think that he felt bad. Yeah.
Well, we're not going to be playing any April Fool's jokes today because today we are talking about the second revealed land of Epic Universe, How to Train Your Dragon, Isle of Berk.
That is true. That is not an April Fool's joke. This was, this information came out before April Fool's.
It did.
And while we're recording this technically on April Fool's, this is not a joke, so yeah.
Not a joke. Yeah. Not a joke.
Very exciting, though. I mean, I guess that's a question. because obviously this is different in terms of, say, like how Disney, you know, were to announce certain things.
Uh-huh.
Do you like how they do? They're kind of doing this Epic Universe, which seemingly is they're teasing and revealing one land at a time. I actually think it's really smart.
Yes.
Because you're just building up anticipation and giving people, and which we'll talk about, a lot of details about what's going to be in there.
Well, and they started with, I think, the two lands that people know the least about or the least familiar with. So we already learned about Celestial Park, which is the when you first walk into Epic Universe, and now we're learning about How to Train Your Dragon, which I feel like it's a franchise that not as many people are familiar with versus like Nintendo and Harry Potter. So I don't know. I like the way they do it. I like the schematics they have. I like the animation. I like the drone type of videos they put out. I'm a fan.
I agree. Yeah, we'll go over it today though.
But we don't have any news today we're going to talk about, but before we do talk about How to Train Your Dragon Land, we just want to mention some things about some housekeeping. Take it away, Jared.
Yes. Well, if you're watching us on YouTube, we just ask you to please subscribe to the channel, like this video. It's over at CTM Podcast on YouTube. If you're listening to us on just regular podcast, we greatly appreciate that. Just ask you subscribe wherever you're listening and leave us a review, because that definitely helps us continue to grow the show everywhere else. And if you want even more content, be sure to check out Club 32, and that's our private group, kind of like our own Patreon, but we just host it on our own end, and we have additional content like live streams. We have Cool Kids Kitchen. We have the Club 32 show, which is a weekly live stream we do over on Tuesdays. We chat with everybody. We've got a new live stream show going to start up here very soon, where we're going to people in the group can sign up to be sort of a guest and sort of probably whatever, you know, may take questions from the group as well. So just be sort of a member oriented show coming very soon. And like, you know, Cool Kids Kitchen, like I mentioned, in-park live stream sometimes, things like that. So if you want even more content, you can head over to ctmvip.com. We have monthly or yearly options. And you can also get 20% off of CTM apparel and 1901 Candle Company products, a private podcast feed, private Facebook group, and all sorts of stuff we're constantly adding over there. So again, ctmvip.com is where you go for that. And we even have a free trial if you want to try it out. Or if you do a yearly, you get a free t-shirt. So you get something for free either way. So there you go. So,
thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right. Well, let's talk about How to Train Your Dragon, Isle of Berk. Okay. So the announcement for the details of this land came out last Thursday, like Jared said. And what's interesting is they teased the announcement of the details. So like, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, they just put out this like 5-6 second video that said 3/28/24. So it got people excited about it, thinking, oh my gosh, we're going to get more Epic Universe stuff.
Right.
And then they released all the information like early in the morning too. It was like early on Thursday. We got some more details about what's going to be the land and the attractions and things you can see, do, etc. So first of all, How to Train Your Dragon. Have you seen these movies?
Personally, no. I'm aware of them. But we actually never have seen them. So they're on our list. Some people had commented on the YouTube channel in the videos about the Epic Universe construction. You should really watch them. They are on our list. They just keep getting bumped from our children for like Peppa Pig, Bluey, Trolls, all that stuff. So
we'll get to them.
We will get to them eventually. I've heard they're very good.
Uh-huh.
But I will say, even if, you know, not knowing much about the franchise, I definitely think dragons and Vikings are pretty universally that appeals to a lot of people. So
yeah,
I feel like just even if you're unaware of it, it's a good concept for a land.
Yeah. And like, and you know, we'll talk about what the movies, especially the first one, is about, just to give you an idea what the land will entail. But if you haven't seen the movies, I feel like you could still appreciate this land because of the Vikings and the dragons, and it's very appealing to pretty much everybody. So, but I think that's important to note, that you don't have to see the movies to appreciate the land.
Well, I think things, obviously very different genres, but I think things like Game of Thrones, Thor, stuff like that. Like there's the Viking show that's been popular. So I definitely think Vikings, dragons, things of that nature are obviously things that people do enjoy quite a bit. This is obviously a family-friendly version, especially compared to, say, Game of Thrones. But it's definitely something that it's sort of, you know, I liken it to sort of like Pandora with Disney World, where that's a really cool land, even if you don't know anything about those movies.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to. Whether you see the movies or not, you can still enjoy it quite a bit. I imagine that's probably a lot like How to Train Your Dragon Land is going to be.
Right. Well, do you want to read a little bit of what the first movie is about to give you people an idea of what
we're working with? I would love to. So, How to Train Your Dragon, what is it about? Yes. So, it says, long ago up north on the island, the land is called Isle of Burke. This is the island of Burke. The young Viking Hiccup wants to join his town's fight against the dragons that continually raid their town. However, his macho father and village leader, Stoic the Vast, I believe.
Stoic, yeah.
Stoic the Vast. That's maybe a good name. The Vast. I'm going to go by Jared the Vast.
Oh, gosh.
Will not allow his small, clumsy, but inventive son to do so. Regardless, Hiccup ventures out into battle and downs a mysterious Night Fury dragon with his invention, but can't bring himself to kill it. Instead, Hiccup and the dragon, whom he dubs Toothless, begin a friendship that would open up both their worlds. As the observant boy learns that his people have misjudged the species, but even as the two each take flight in their own way, they find that they must fight the destructive ignorance plaguing their world. So, basically a boy and a dragon become friends.
It's a buddy-buddy movie.
Like a buddy cop movie.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for that. And the land is going to have iconic locations, just because we talked about the movies, such as Gobber's Forge, if you're familiar, Hiccup's House, and the Dragon Racing Bleachers. So this is all locations that you're going to find in these movies. These will be in the land, just FYI. So
yes.
This is the largest world, I say in quotes, world, in Epic Universe.
Yeah, it's 16 and a half acres roughly in the size of it. Besides Celestial Park, which is obviously it's got the attractions there, but it's also the main area when you first walk in. Yeah. That is around 25 acres.
Yeah.
But of the other lands, which you got Super Nintendo World, Harry Potter, Universal Monsters, and How to Train Your Dragon, it is the biggest of those. So, I believe at this point it no longer has a expansion lot, I believe.
Okay.
I think it did initially. It's hard to know for sure, but I don't think this one has an expansion pad anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, just give some perspective. So How to Train Your Dragon is 16 and a half acres. Wizarding World is 14 acres. Universal Monsters is 7. Super Nintendo World is 8.5. And like we said, the Celestial Park is 25 acres. Now, like Super Nintendo has 7-acre pad expansion area. Again, I think all of them except for How to Train Your Dragon have an expansion area. So the Harry Potter one could also grow as well. Like there's a 17-acre one near it. So a lot of these could become bigger. But as of now, it is the biggest land, yes.
Okay. Very cool. And just like the other portals to land from Celestial Park, there's only one entrance and exit. So you're going to have to enter and leave this land in the same place. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to make sure that
I'm sure there's ways for like team members to get around to, you know, different areas of the land. But in terms of day guests, there's an entrance and exit area to each land. So it'll operate very differently. There's some people out there some people are speaking very confidently that they think, I don't believe this is going to be the case, that each land is going to you're going to have a ticket to each land. I do not believe that is the case. I haven't heard anything that would remotely suggest that. Some people are saying that. I think it's simply, we've talked about before, Universal has the ability to rent out lands. It's near the convention center. And if a land is at capacity, they can crowd control that much easier with an entrance and exit area. I think that's a lot of it, but it is different in terms of most theme park lands. You can connect and go to other parts versus this one's just you go into this area and it's a self-contained little land and you come out. So.
Okay, I was just making sure.
Yeah.
Now, the land is set in the world between the second and third movies. So, again, we will watch these movies to get a better idea of what we're working with, but that is where it's set. They're calling it Isle of Burke 2.5 or something like that.
Which I do want to say, I love how Universal does this. They don't overcomplicate this aspect of when they're building lands and worlds in their theme parks. They simply just take it. They did the same thing with the Harry Potter stuff. It's it's a time period between certain movies for the most part. You know, they're building in How to Train Your Dragon, these iconic, the statues, when you first come into the Isle of Burke. They're giving you the visuals that you know from the movies and just saying it takes place in this time period, but not being so obsessed with timeline.
Yeah.
For instance, like Galaxy's Edge.
Galaxy's Edge.
I'm just saying they're very much like it's in a very specific timeline, but it limits them on what a lot of things they can do. Versus this, they're not narrowing it down so much, and I think it gives them freedom. And I also think it's what people want. If you like the How to Train Your Dragon movies, you'll see a lot of the stuff that you saw in those movies. Like, wow, that's really cool. The bay is here, and Toothless here, and stuff like that.
Yeah. I agree. So it is set up as a Viking village. There's like lots of dark wood. There's like the ships, the bridges, the buildings, little pops of color here and there to make it more, I don't know, kid friendly. I think it's just
the colors of the movie. It's kind of more vibrant. I mean, just give it a little pop, I suppose.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a place where Vikings and dragons live in harmony. They're in harmony now. And water plays a big part in this land. They incorporate water in, two of the attractions, technically. So, and we'll talk about the attractions in a minute. But water plays a big part because, I mean, when you first walk in the land, you see just like the big water. Like, it's not a pond. It's more like a lake.
It's almost. A bay. It's the main bay. I think it's just the Isle of Burke Bay. But yeah.
Okay. So you see it right when you walk in. We'll talk about more about the land as we go through the attractions and stuff. But the one thing I will say about this land that I'm excited for because of the ages of our children is that it will probably mostly appeal to small children more than any of the other lands in the park.
Yes, very family friendly. I think Epic Universe as a whole, if you really look at it, is very family friendly, edging toward the family friendly side.
Yeah.
They've got the one, Starfall Racers, the dueling coaster, which looks very intense. That is clearly the most intense ride in the entire park.
Yeah.
Everything else is much more milder, which I think is probably them. They understand like Islands of Adventure, a lot of thrills. Teenagers and the big complaint people have had with Universal, there's not as much stuff for littles and families to do. How to Train Your Dragon is probably, I agree. I mean, obviously Super Nintendo World, kids love that. But in How to Train Your Dragon, very kid friendly. You've got there's the giant kids play area.
Yeah, there's a kids play area. Yeah. There's three attractions, one show, one main restaurant, a few shopping spots, meet and greets, and of course, more in there. Mm-hmm. But that's basically what the land encompasses.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the attractions.
All right. Well, I guess the first one we should talk about is Hiccup's Wing Gliders, which this is the main coaster in the land that people have seen. This now, I think we had learned through some filings that they had that this was probably going to be the name of it.
Okay.
So the idea here, and this is from Universal, it says, from Hiccup's workshop comes his latest contraption, a winged flying machine that launches aspiring dragon riders into the air, swooping and soaring and encountering Hiccup and Toothless along the way. It says, get ready to board Hiccup's Wing Gliders, a fun coaster that invites Vikings to prove they're brave enough to speed through the sky with dragons. The minimum height requirement is 40 inches tall, and I believe the top speed is like 45 miles an hour.
It's not very super fast. It's definitely a family coaster.
I liken this to a family-friendly Hagrid's.
Okay.
Kind of the same. Take the idea of Hagrid's where you go in and out of like show buildings like you do in Hagrid's with like set pieces and things. This ride is going to do that as well. It's just much more family, a little milder, not as fast.
Yeah.
But it's got some really cool aspects to it. Like it's going to make it seem like you're going underwater kind of because on one part you dip. When you're walking, there's a boardwalk in the bay.
Yes.
And part of it is, you got the water nearby. You're going to go underneath a walk bridge that is you're going to splash water there to make it seem like it's going to look like you're going underwater.
Yeah. Right.
So it's got stuff like that. But yeah, it goes throughout the entire land though.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool because in the story of the ride, Toothless doesn't want him to do this. And so basically he hasn't put the wings on yet or it's not complete. So throughout the ride, you're going like back and forth and back and forth. And that simulates it. Mm-hmm. So you're not like consistently flying. It's very, okay, we're not.
And
really,
if you look at the, and there's been some animation of the, forget the YouTube channel now, but they've done a sort of a POV version and third person view of this ride. It's been out for a little bit, but Universal released some footage as well. And it does kind of have this like smooth flowing motion to it, like very like you're not just going in a straight line the whole time. It's like you're kind of
back,
you're forward. on a flight of sorts.
Yeah, and so I think our kids will enjoy this. Being the 40 inch height requirement is fairly low, so
it's probably, I would say, a much better version, mind you. But if like this lands sort of like Slinky Dog Dash,
I love Slinky Dog.
I like Slinky Dog too, but I think this is probably a, I think it's longer than Slinky Dog Dash, and probably from what I've seen of it, it seems like more of a cool coaster to me, like in terms of like just going all throughout the land and stuff. But I would say it's very much on par with Slinky Dog Dash would be my assumption.
Okay.
You know, Jamie, they say the sense of smell is the most powerful thing a human being possesses.
Do they?
I don't know. Okay. I just said that, but I'm going to go with it. Therefore, you want to smell things that smell good.
Sure.
I would assume. We can help you do that. At 1901 Candle Company, we make candles that smell good, and they're inspired by a lot of the things that you love, like Captain America, Rapunzel, Harry Potter.
Loki.
He probably smells mischievous, but your house could smell mischievous as well. Wizard's Brew, which is butterbeer, basically. So if you don't like butterbeer, your house can smell of it.
Sure.
Either way, it's a great time. Fall on Main Street. What does Main Street smell like at fall time? Well, there you go. So you got some great scents, and right now we have a great deal going on. So if you buy three candles, you'll get one for free. So again, buy three candles, get one for free. So add four candles to your cart and use the promo code B3G1, and you'll get one of those for free. Plus, that order will qualify for free shipping because anything over $49 gets free shipping as well. Plus, we also have bundles you can build for yourself and sample packs because, obviously, it's hard to know which scents you're going to like without smelling them firsthand. And we have a 1901 Candle Company guarantee. If you don't like your candles, we will work with you to get you a scent that you like so that you are happy.
So go to 1901candleco.com today. Very good. All right. Well, what's the second attraction?
The second attraction is the Dragon Racers Rally. So this says the sport of dragon racing is a celebrated pastime on the Isle of Berk. At Dragon Racers Rally, Berk's new Vikings can practice aerobatic. I was trying to say acrobatic. Yeah. Aerobatic maneuvers and high-speed barrel rolls on a Viking-made dragon riding trainer. You'll need these high-flying, gravity-defying, swooping, and soaring skills if you hope to become a champion dragon racer.
This is a new ride system for Universal.
To Universal. They have the same ride. I believe it's in Iowa.
Okay.
It operates the same way, but this is just themed to dragons.
Yeah, it's themed after the worst dragon racer from the series, Snotlout, and the best dragon racer, Astrid. So there you go.
Yeah.
I unfortunately will not be doing this ride because looking at the movements and everything, I will be sick. So I'm going to sit this one out.
Well, if you're watching us on YouTube, I'll put a clip in here. But the way it works is like a pendulum swinging type of ride. So it's got a counterweight and it's going to swoop and go high and go low. In of that itself, each seat you're on, you can control, like it was saying, you can make yourself do barrel rolls or you can just be completely stationary.
Oh, yeah,
so you can make it more intense or less intense depending on how you want to ride it, which that aspect of it is pretty cool. But yeah, it's this one, the minimum height requirement is 48 inches. I don't know about our kids in this. Our daughter maybe, but this one's probably a little bit more bigger kids, I would say.
Oh, probably. I don't know if our son would be into it. I mean, they do look kind of high, like I just don't think he might get kind of freaked out, but
maybe it does go a little high, but it's a cool concept and it's right near. So when you're on Hiccup's roller coaster, you actually go through the grandstands for this ride. So in this ride, it has grandstands. They're supposed to be like you're watching the dragon races.
Right.
So on the roller coaster, you would literally go right by this ride.
Okay.
Like I was saying, that roller coaster literally takes you all over the land. So you'll be able to see all the rides and everything.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's the third attraction?
Third attraction is called Fire Drill. It's
Fire.
F-Y-R-E Drill.
Yes.
So it says, with fire-breathing dragons everywhere, villagers have to be prepared. Viking twins Roughnut and Toughnut have transformed Berk's Fire School into a watery interactive boat battle at sea. board your ship in fire drill and blast your water cannons at flame-like targets and the occupants of every other boat to out-soak other Vikings.
In the video, promotion video, it said that you will probably get pretty soaked on this. There are over 130 moving targets, and since it sits in the middle of the land and the water, you're kind of able to look at it and watch it going on from like multiple angles. And it's basically like a water shooting, like water target shooting ride.
Yeah, I mean, this I know like Silver Dollar City has had a similar type of ride of this, where it's a slow moving boat ride where you shoot other people shoot you. The whole concept, you're just gonna get wet. So like on a hot summer day, yeah, just get on there. You get wet. I mean, with our kids, we'll probably, you know, go in here, have their swimsuits on or something, yep, and just go in there and yeah.
I think
in the middle of July, you'll love it.
Oh, it'll be great. And there, I don't think there's any height requirement for this one. So
no, I'm pretty sure anybody can ride it. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, it is right in the middle. It is going to be right now they do have on the latest construction photos, we did get a glimpse of the Viking ships that you'll be on, which is kind of cool. So yeah, again, this is Viking themed.
Yes.
But now I don't know. I would assume like pedestrians and people looking over might be able to shoot you with water. They do that sometimes. Like if Volcano Bay and places like that, you can do that. So
you're probably right.
They'll
probably
maybe have something. But yeah, so that could be another aspect to it.
Yeah. So you just soak out other Vikings. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. let's talk about the show that they've got in this land.
Yes, so there's a big giant theater in here called The Untrainable Dragon. So this show is actually in Universal Beijing.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's the exact same show that they're just bringing over here.
They did say they're going to change it, the time period of when it's set, which I don't know what that means because I've never seen the show. But it will be slightly different. But you're right, it's
slightly different. But yeah, the visuals and things, if you've seen footage of it, it legitimately is a Broadway level show with all the way they do it. It looks very cool.
Yeah.
So how they describe it is when a new dragon shows up on the Isle of Berk, the Vikings think they may have finally met their match. Hiccup and Toothless, with help from Gobber and Astrid, work together to solve the mystery of the untrainable dragon. Experience the wonder of dragons on stage and soaring overhead in this spectacular, music-filled, heartwarming live show. And like we said, this is a transplant from Universal Beijing.
Yeah.
Very Broadway style. I don't know. I'm trying to think, the show runs 20 to 30 minutes long, maybe?
I have no idea. I don't know.
I'm not actually sure on how long the show runs, but
yeah,
it's very popular over there. And I've seen the footage of it from people who have filmed it over there. In terms of a theater show, I would say it's up there with probably, I know you like Nemo Animal Kingdom in terms of theme park theater shows. I think it's probably, at least visually, way better than that.
Okay. Great. So, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the kids area.
Yeah. So this is on the other side of the second launch of Hiccup's roller coaster.
Okay.
So it's at the Viking training camp, is what this is called. Junior Vikings will discover all types of dragons in this sprawling, colorful, interactive play area. Adventures include multiple towers to climb and explore, a fun agility course, Viking drums and chimes to play, an interactive sheep launcher game, plus slides and activities for the youngest Vikings.
And this is supposedly hosted by Fishlegs, Isle of Berk's resident dragon expert.
Yes.
And the area looks quite big.
It's a pretty big area.
Yeah.
The one thing I do like about it from a play standpoint is the entrance and exits are it's narrow. So in terms of like us being parents, like eye line of your children, keeping them in sight. I don't think this would be too difficult in terms of like being able to keep an eye on them, which I do like.
Yeah.
But yeah, now nearby for parents, they are building. There's a quick service thing not very far from this. So I believe, if you've got some kiddos, you could grab a snack and a drink and hang out over here maybe. But
all right.
Yeah. But it looks very, a very themed kid play area, which I think for littles is something that is very good because,
it's
always needed to let kids run around and get a little crazy.
I think for our son specifically, we're just going to have to go to the other side to begin with so he doesn't see it, so we can get other things done, because I think he'd probably spend like all day here.
Kids love play areas. Yeah. I mean, our daughter does too, but by the time it's built, she might think she's too old for it. Who knows?
Okay. So there will be some meet and greets throughout the land. So you can meet Toothless and Hiccup at the Haddock Paddock. I think that's how you say it. You can meet Astrid, Stormfly, Roughnut, and Toughnut throughout the Isle of Berk. So just kind of walking around, I guess. And then Gobber and his beloved hot purple dragon Grump take center stage in the Forge. So lots of dragons and lots of dragon tamers.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So, but the Toothless and Hiccup one looks like it's going to be really cool because it looks like Toothless is going to be in a similar getup as if like the raptor in Jurassic Park.
I got that impression as well.
Maybe similar size. I don't know.
Yeah. But. I mean, we've talked about it before. I'm really curious. I think you're going to see a lot more meet and greets. Well, I think you're going to see a lot more meet and greets ongoing with Universal as they build new lands. We've seen that with like Minions Land and stuff like that. Like they do have more meet and greets.
Yeah.
But meet and greets aren't something that Universal is known for, like, say, Disney.
Right. Not as much.
But right. I definitely think with Epic Universe, they're going to push that. And I think it could become something that's very popular. Especially if they're done very well, which this seems to be like, you know, if it's like the raptor thing, that's pretty cool that you can actually like meet a dragon and things. I mean, our daughter was really excited about that. She's never seen the movies, but she thinks Toothless looks really cute.
So, that's what I asked her. I was like, I showed her the video, showed her what's going to be. And then I was like, what are you most excited for after this? She goes, I want to meet the dragon. I was like, okay.
Well, and I think too, like I'm not going to be surprised if them putting this land in here that you're probably going to see more How to Train Your Dragon movies. Would be my guess. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know anything about these movies. So I have no idea. But if that's the case, like if these movies become more popular, obviously the meet and greets become more popular. We know the ones with Super Nintendo World in Hollywood and Japan have been very popular.
Right.
Because it's Mario and Luigi and Princess Peach. So, you know, I think these are things we're going to start seeing more of. So, especially in a kids' land, I mean, kids always love meet and greets.
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, they even have a Bucky's meet and greet. If you go to a Bucky's.
So true.
Now our kids didn't care much about it, but some people do.
It's like I said, it is the Disney World of gas stations.
It's true. And if you don't know what a Bucky's is, you should go, you have to experience it. Describing it doesn't really do it justice. It's just seeing it. You're like, oh my. And
So let's talk about a little bit of the food. So the only thing they talked about food wise, was Mead Hall.
Is the only thing that they said in the video, but there are going to be other places. So, right. Mead Hall here is that this is here's the place to eat and drink like a Viking. The massive Mead Hall is Berk's main gathering place, a grand chamber hewn from a mountain rock where Vikings feast on a hearty menu, including meat, fish, sandwiches, and desserts. Beverages include assorted meads, ciders, and ales. And this place will serve alcohol.
Just a fly.
I believe this would be a lot like Three Broomsticks, theming-wise. I think much bigger.
Now, the concept art that they showed in the video, it looked like they're going to be like really long tables.
Yeah.
Kind of like cafeteria style.
Well, kind of like, you think like long tables like Vikings, which, you know, sitting next to people you don't know, I don't know. But I like the idea in terms of like keeping it, to the concept of Vikings authentic. I like that.
Yeah.
There's a couple other ones too. There's some quick service ones, at least two, maybe three quick services in here. And there is the something in Gruul. I can't remember the first name of it now off the top of my head. But there is another restaurant I know for certain that's going to be in the land. So there is going to be quite a few options for food and drink in here as well.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, that was the only one that they specifically mentioned. So,
and I don't believe this is a table service. I'm pretty sure this is.
I don't think there's any table service.
I don't believe so either. So I think this is very much, again, like Three Broomsticks, where it's very heavily themed. Hopefully. The newer Universal food offerings have been pretty good. So I'm assuming the food will be good, but much like those, you can probably order on the app, get a table, sit down and enjoy your meal, and then, you know, go back into the land. So.
Okay. Do you think they'll serve the meat like raw?
I doubt it.
Or like make you like give you like a fire and make you like make it yourself like a true Viking.
You know, I wish they would, but
it's like I'm down with that.
I doubt they will. Hey, if you can have Viking ales in mead. Mead is actually pretty good. I don't know if you've ever had mead or not.
I don't even.
It's like it's sort of like a honey beer sort of thing. They're very sweet.
Oh. Okay.
But it's good.
Okay, cool. Well, that is all of the information that they kind of gave us about the land. I mean, everything was a little ancillary things here and there about what you can see. But I don't know. Like, I'm really excited for this lane. I had no idea how big it was before all this information came out. I didn't know what was going to be in it. And having not seen the movies, like we said, like, still like super, super excited, especially for our kids. You know, like, we can enjoy it, but I think they all enjoy it as well.
Yeah. I mean, having been paying attention to the construction of it, they didn't announce anything that, like, we didn't know about. A lot of it was just, well, right, something. A lot of it was the official names.
Yes.
To get official names, some more concept art, which I love, some fly-throughs. I've been excited for this land ever since I kind of been finding out more about it, just because I definitely think this will be the kids' land area.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be where the family, you know, it's got stuff for everybody. Like I said,
you don't think kids will do Dark Universe?
You know, actually, I'm curious about Dark Universe. I wonder how Dark Universe it goes. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're going to make it too spooky. It just depends. Because if it's, you know, the like, for instance, the roller coaster that they have in there, which is like the spinning coaster, it's sort of a family coaster too. I think it is classified as a family coaster. It's not a super intense one. It does spin, but it doesn't go upside down or anything like that. And then the main manor ride is very much like Forbidden Journey, how it's got the Kuka arm and things like that. Okay. I don't know how, again, you're talking about very old movie franchises.
Right.
I kind of wonder if they go more toward silly, spooky, not silly spooky, but like maybe not as scary, more as Halloween themed.
This is the same company that does Halloween Horror Nights.
For sure. I'm curious about that land for that reason, but yes, I think this one in Super Nintendo World would probably be the most popular for kids and families.
Yeah, agreed. And Celestial Park too, a few of those in there.
I mean, a Celestial Park with the carousel, for sure.
It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's a lot of stuff in here for families in this entire park, which I'm really excited about. So, I don't know if I'm more excited than I already have been, but I've been very excited for Epic Universe for a while now.
Yeah, so. Same. And we'll keep doing these videos as they release more information about each land. So it seems like they're going to release, I don't know, maybe information like once every 2 months, maybe?
I timed this out. If they do the same pace, I believe they fed the first one about Celestial Park in, was it February or January?
Did they release it at the same time as releasing like the opening stuff? Was it into January?
I don't remember this specifically. I think I timed it out where if they did this same about every land, they could pace this out to where the last land reveal is like toward the end of the year.
Okay.
And then that may be when they say officially when the park is actually going to open, which is at this point, they had been saying the longest time, summer of 2025. Lately, in the last update in this one, they just say in 2025, which either means it could open sooner, or it could be later, or they could still be the same time frame. They just don't want to pin it down. But that's the main thing, because we do know the hotels, Terra Nova and Stella Nova and Terra Luna, those hotels that are going to be outside of Epic Universe, those are opening in January and February of 2025.
Okay. Yeah.
So February, we know those are opening then. We just don't know when the lands, you know, the park itself is going to open. So
I would think shortly after.
and you think, too, they're more than likely assuming here they're going to have AP previews, things of that nature. So, you know, how long do they run those and everything like that? Yeah. So I've been saying all along, I'm optimistically, I'm not saying predicting, but I'm very optimistic that perhaps it could open in the spring of 25. That would be awesome if they could. Because I think they would want to be full-fledged, ready to go, summer 25, people planning their summer vacations.
So it
just depends on how they want to do that. But in construction doesn't seem to be, I haven't seen anything that says like they've hit like issues with construction and things like that. Obviously, we don't know what's going on inside some of the buildings. But
I think if I were predicting, I think a year from now, so in April of 2025, they'll start doing some previews, either for media or pass holders or whatnot. And I really think it'll be opened before or around Memorial Day weekend.
I would suspect that would be a thing they're shooting for as well. Because, and I've said for a while too, they're, you know, they, the last thing that any park wants or anybody would want is an opening day to not go very well. Right. So that's why I'm saying for a while that they're going to do previews. Because if you look at like, say, Minion Land, that technically didn't open until when was the official first day of that?
August something. It was right. August something, but we went in June.
Well, that's what I was saying. It was in technical rehearsals for months.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that's an existing thing in an existing theme park you can walk through, right. But I would assume they're going to want to work out all the potential kinks that they have. That way, opening day is just everyone's used to it. It's ready to go because the last thing they would want from a media perspective would be opening day that, you know, all the rides aren't working. Like, for instance, the first day of Hagrid's, if you remember correctly, that was shut down most of the day.
Oh, my gosh, that line.
And some of those rides, those lines were like 8 hours long.
11. It got to 11 hours.
So, very long wait. So, like, obviously rides go down and things can happen, but they're going to want to work out a lot of those kinks ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be shocked by that at all. But yeah, we'll wait and see. I would be surprised if they say anything until closer to the end of the year, if I were to guess.
Okay.
Because they really don't have to. They can just keep teasing this out, building up anticipation, right. And then, you know, whatever timeline they're on, they can eventually reveal it.
Yeah. And since Jared knows like about all the construction and stuff, if you guys have any questions, you're always feel free to email us or catch us on social media. We're on Facebook, Capture the Magic Community. We're on Cap the Magic on Instagram and Twitter, et cetera. And we're Capture the Magic on TikTok. And then as Jared was saying, catch us on YouTube if you're not watching already.
Yeah, I'll probably do a new construction video this week. And then I'll probably do a video on this on that channel. So there'll be one on the CTM podcast channel and the main one as well.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to do a ride tier list, Epic Universe ride tier list on the main channel as well. Like, obviously we haven't ridden it, but just preemptively, what rides do we think are like A tier, S tier, things like that. So.
Okay. Sounds good. And as he mentioned already, you can go to ctmvip.com if you want to sign up for Clip 32, do the free trial, or you can sign up for yearly, whatever you want to do. And don't forget to catch our other shows on the network. We've got our Disney podcast we've got on Thursdays. It's Jared and I. We talk about all things Disney and news. And we usually have a topic of the week. I've got Trip Tales I do twice a month. I've got Trip Tales that I do once a month. My next one will be, I believe, in 2 weeks from now. So catch that on the Mink podcast feed. And then we do Universal episodes about twice a month. And... yeah, anything else you want to mention before we close?
Don't think so. Very excited. Oh, I guess I will say in Club 32, a lot of people suggested or had requests for music loops because when the private podcast feed. So I will be adding more of those. Okay. So if people have suggestions. But a lot of people like those. They said they put them on while they're studying or doing things and just listen to like entrance music to the theme parks and things like that. So there's a specific one that you want and you're a member of Club 32. Yep. Let us know and I will get that for you.
All right. Well, thank you. And don't forget ctmshirts.com for all our latest designs that we've got in the shop, as well as 1901candleco.com, as you can see on Jared's shirt.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening or watching. Thank you, Jared, for providing all of that knowledge in your noggin about the land and whatnot.
I'm glad my noggin could be used. I tried to rhyme something with noggin, and I got nothing. But you're welcome.
Toboggan?
All that noggin in my toboggan.
All right. And as I always like to say, we will see you in the parks.
Bye.